Christians first in Antioch. But what does that mean to be called Christian? How do we brand the faithful? We'll be discovering that coming up next right here on The Parker J. Cole Show. To have you here with us today. Happy 4th of July. Happy Independence Day or happy day wherever you are. I hope you're enjoying yourselves and your family as we celebrate the holiday. You know, it's an interesting time because we're talking about branding the faithful. And in our current climate, which is very full, which is very much full of volatility, reactionary, just a lot of things going on. Branding is part of what's going on right now. There's a rebranding of historical facts. There's a rebranding of movements, a rebranding of a lot of things, some of it good, some of it bad. And it's just interesting to watch as our nation goes through change, whether the change will be for the better or for the worse, we will see. But I thought about how appropriate our discussion is today about branding the faithful, because when people hear the term Christian, a number of things come to mind. Most of them are pretty much negative. It's sort of like when we say the word American. When we say American now, much of the connotation with American is very much negative. And so I thought about the parallel between these two. Not that being American is Christian, not that being Christian is American, we know that, but it's interesting how these parallels work together on this episode of the show. With me to kind of break this all down about how do we brand the faithful, how do we truly understand what it means to be a Christian? How do they know what it means to be the real deal? Because you can sometimes have people brand something that is an imposter. So we're going to be taking this topic from a lot of different perspectives with my guest co-host and contributor today, Dave Waddell. Dave is an author as well as a worship leader. He's been on the show a couple of times now. Always enjoy having him with me. And we had planned this the last time he was on the show. We just didn't know what we were going to talk about. And then this idea came to me over the last couple of weeks. We got together. So I'm really excited to discuss it with you. Feel free to call in at 646-668-8485 and then press 1 to be live on air. Or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag PJC Show, with your questions or comments. Also, I want to thank those of you who have been giving me congratulations on my 7th year anniversary of being the queen with my other show, Right Stuff on Tuesdays. I look back and I can't believe I've come this far, 7 years being the queen of Tuesday nights. I can only thank the Lord for his wonderful grace and mercy for allowing that to happen and to see the listenership grow as we continue to grow as well. So thank you all for your congratulations. I really sincerely appreciate it. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Conflict is expensive.
That's TWR President Lauren Libby.
And this is Get Hope. Get Hope.
Emotionally, financially, relationally, it diverts valuable energy essential to accomplishing just normal activities that we're involved in every day. A study of on-the-job issues ranked marriage and career conflicts as events that rob people of personal peace and productivity. You know, Jesus came to resolve the ultimate conflict between humans and God, and he's still resolving conflict today. A conflicted relationship that comes before God in prayer suddenly gives way to avenues of forgiveness and reconciliation. Got a big conflict in your life? Well, tell Jesus about it in detail, and you'll be surprised at what happens.
In today's chaotic world, isn't it good to know there's hope? And if you'd like more hope, Lauren Libby has resources available,
including a free 30-day devotional he'd be happy to send to you.
Get yours today at GetHopeRadio.com.
How do fantasy and sci-fi help make us into better people? And how can Christians best glorify our Lord Jesus Christ as we enjoy these stories? Also, where can you find the best fantastical Christian novels? Yes, they do exist, and we know exactly where to find them.
From the creators of Lorehaven magazine and from biblical Christian storytellers around the world comes a new podcast for readers of amazing stories. We call it Fantastical Truth.
I'm E. Stephen Burnett.
And I'm Zachary Russell. Our mission is to find biblical truth in fantastic stories. We apply the wonders of these imaginary worlds to the real world our Creator has called us to serve.
Toward that chief end, we will find the best novels by Christian authors, fantasy, science fiction, and beyond. Together, we will explore these stories in light of the gospel, and we'll join these authors and other creative friends on this joyful journey to find the happiness and holiness of Jesus by exploring his gift of truthful imagination.
Please subscribe at lorehaven.com or on podcast players everywhere.
Join us in this eternal quest to seek and find fantastical truth.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. So glad you are here with me today. We are talking about branding the faithful. As I said before the break, when you hear the term Christian, a number of negative images, thoughts, words come to mind. Some of those words are racist, homophobic, hypocritical, self-righteous, ignorant, dumb, stupid, liars, cheats, people who can't even stand up to their own standards. These are some of the connotations that are ascribed to Christianity. And I had to go to the Bible where it says, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch, which takes place in Acts chapter 11, verse 26. I think it's important for us to understand as we begin our discussion that when the disciples were called Christians in Antioch, Christians was a slur. It was a negative word. It was kind of like, look at those Christians, you know, because they were followers of who? Christ. And so we have to work through the rhetoric that people have branded us as the faithful and get to the root problem. And so with me to help me do that is my guest co-host and contributor today, Dave Waddell. Dave, how are you doing today?
I'm doing quite well. It's a joy to be with you again, Parker.
It's a joy to have you with me. You know, we always have such a good time when we're on the show. A number of people really liked it when we did God's Sense of Humor. It was just me and you laughing, but we had a good time. So, you know, we really enjoy that. And especially after the show, we were talking, we had a great time too. So glad to have you back talking about a really serious topic about branding the faithful and just the negative connotations that Christians have gathered the years. I would say the negative connotations have happened for a myriad of reasons. First of all, individuals who have caused God's name to stink before the unbelievers, like the Lord said in the Bible. Also, you know, people who were sincere in their thoughts but poor in the execution. And, you know, historical power shifts, like political scandals and stuff like that. And just people not really understanding what being a Christian is all about. And so there's a lot to this topic we need to uncover. I want to start where you want to start. So go ahead. Let's do our initial thoughts about branding the faithful.
Well, unfortunately, Christians are known more for what they're against than what they're for. And I guess we've had bad public relation agents, or in reality, I would just say we've been acting kind of stupid ourselves sometimes.
Yeah.
Because we make an issue more important than the person. And I see this so many times where, in particular news coverage, we'll find that someone is against a particular thing. And that has rotated through the years, Parker. When I was growing up, it was kind of the don't drink, chew, smoke, or what was it? Don't smoke, chew, drink or chew, and don't go out with girls who do. Drinking and smoking were the things that just set you apart. If you did those things, you couldn't be a Christian. And preachers harped on it. And we always got tickled at the obese preacher telling people not to smoke because of the sin, while gluttony apparently was his sin. Then in our generation, Parker, it's gone into the things like abortion and homosexuality. And it's almost like if we can pick on a sin that I know I'm not guilty of, then I can preach as much as I want. But the problem with that message is love never comes through.
It's
always a pointing of the fingers. And I think that's one of the ways that we have harmed the branding of Christianity or being followers of Jesus, is that we haven't simply done what he said to do, and that's love one another.
And I like that you mentioned that people use the sin I'm not guilty of, you know, because I could say, and it's funny you mentioned about drinking, because, you know, I think I've told you, like, I grew up with a very strict background about drinking. Drinking sent you straight to hell, you know, surpassed the cross. If you took a swig of Hennessy, straight to hell. Okay. And so I grew up with this connotation of drinking, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I will burn in hell if I drink. And so my mom and my dad said, we did not tell you that. I said, well, where do we get it from? You know, I grew up in your house. There wasn't anyone else's house I grew up in. I grew up in your house. So, and I'll never forget my husband, who is Irish and German, you know, his family drinks. And so when we were about to get married, we almost didn't get married over the issue, you know. And I will never forget, I went to my pastor because I was in agony over this thing. And I said, Pastor, I don't want to send anyone to hell. So my pastor, may he rest in peace, my pastor looked at me, and imagine this big black guy, 6 feet tall, just, you know, real gruff voice. He goes, girl, you ain't got no hell to put nobody in. He said it just like that. And he said, people gonna drink, girl, let them drink. You can't stop people from doing nothing they can't do. I said, but Pastor, they'll go to hell. He said, girl, you know, like that. He was talking to me. And so we ended up compromising over it. But we almost didn't get married because, for me, that was the banner. If I drink, people will go to hell. Like, people know I am not a Christian because I drink. And mind you, I don't understand why we have a drinking problem in the U.S. of A, because it smells horrible. But at the same time, whatever. But I would never drink because I'm not even remotely attracted to it. But I know exactly what you mean. It's not just drinking. Some people, like some of my author friends, they grew up where they didn't watch television. And they felt like if you watched television, you were entering into a sinful state. If you didn't do X, and particularly is virginity. Virginity has always been a big thing with Christians, you know, saving yourself for marriage. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't, you would fall off this pedestal, and things of that nature with the purity movement, which in intention, the purity movement is valid, but its execution has been extremely poor because they place so much high standard on your physical state, they forget about your spiritual state, which goes back to your point about, you know, we're not loving each other like Christ loved us, you know. And so that's a very good point that you make. And so let's bring it down some more. So we're kind of like our own worst PR, because in the past we focused on living a certain way outwardly without working on the spiritual. And why is this a significant part of branding the faithful?
Well, because what is within is what comes out. And if we are looking for the superficial things to determine faith, the superficial, if it's not directed by an inward drive, an inward love, the superficial always ends up being judgmental or wrong. And I think when you mentioned the virginity issue, I think of the woman that was caught in the act of adultery that they brought to Jesus as a way of trapping Jesus. They didn't really care about the woman. They didn't care about the man that was committing adultery with her, because they didn't bring him. And Jesus forgave her, even though she didn't ask for it, and just said, go and sin no more. And I think quite often when people have fallen, the inner love that's not there to help them pick up and help them move on and help them grow through, instead they're greeted with judgment, just puts a bigger separation between people. It's surprising how many people have been wounded by the faithful because of that.
Yeah, exactly. And I know church hurt is probably the worst hurt, because church hurt often brings a barrier between a person and their love for God. Not saying that God cannot overcome church hurt, but it does bring a barrier. And that's something that we need to also acknowledge. So you may be wondering, Parker and Dave, why are you guys going so mean on Christians? It's not that we're going mean on Christians. I honestly think that we are being honest about what some Christians have done for our own PR. You know what I mean? And so if we're not honest that, hey, some people have felt as if Christians were homophobic because they focus on people who were homosexual and entering a homosexual lifestyle. Some people may focus on racism because some Christians may come off as racist. I'm not saying all they mm-hmm. are, but they may come off like that. Some people, hypocritical, self-righteous, all of that. You know, if we don't acknowledge this, then we're not being honest. And being a faithful person means being honest. And you may say, well, you don't have to be a Christian to be honest. That's very true. But it's part of the group of the Spirit that we're part of this big family, because we're connected by the blood of Christ. Where you can have an honest atheist who will still be locked in his sins. He doesn't come to the saving knowledge of Christ. That's where we come in at. Like, you're not part of the family. You're doing great things, but you're not part of the family. And that's, I think, is important. Now, if I'm saying that wrong, Dave, please correct me. But what do you think? What would you add to that statement?
No. I think you're absolutely on mark with it. And I would say the reason, I know it sounded like we're being hard on Christians, but I also want to say the reason I can be hard on Christians is because I'm guilty of all mm-hmm. of these things myself.
Yeah.
No matter how much I understand grace and that Jesus' death and resurrection freed me up from the power of sin, it's so easy to look at someone else and go, well, they should pay a price for that. And mm-hmm. so the only reason I can be hard on us is because I'm actually just being hard on me. I'm
yeah.
the one that's been, you know, I've picked particular things to be against. I've particular things to harp on. And I'll also say this, just as a cautionary thing for people that are listening. Quite often it's the sin that people harp about most is the one that they're either guilty of or want to be guilty of.
Yeah. Yeah. I think about Ravi Zacharias, the late Ravi Zacharias, when he talked about pleasure. And pleasure, he said, is extremely intoxicating. And there are some sins we love to perform. Let's not lie, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I love, and I'll use the one I'm comfortable with sharing. I love gluttony, okay? I love drinking my Mountain Dew and eating marshmallows and, you know, taking gallons of ice cream, lots of pizza topped with meat and onions and all that good stuff. And those who are sacrilege put pineapple on their pizza. You know, you like gluttony, okay? You know, I don't want to hear, well, you should lose weight, Parker, because you're getting too fat. I don't want to hear that. I like my gluttony. I'm being funny, but I'm just saying, I like my gluttony. Yours could be, some people love to enter into a deviant sexual lifestyle. Some people like to get high. Some people like to drink. Some people like lying because they don't have to tell the truth and have you know who they really are on the inside. I mean, we can go down the line. There are some people who like to sin. And let's face it, sin is pleasurable. You know, we don't do it because
it's
we hate it. It was painful. You know, if it was painful, we probably wouldn't do it. Like, who wants to, you know, willingly put themselves in pain? If every time you lie, you got stabbed, you wouldn't do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, wow, I don't want to get stabbed anymore. Let me stop lying. You know, no, we lie because, you know, we want to present a facade or something like that. So we're being very honest about sin. That's why sin is so horrible. Not because it's bad when we perform it per se. It's the effects it has on our spiritual life that constantly separates us from God. And God cannot live in sin. He cannot even live anywhere near it. His holiness is such that we would be eradicated. We can't even go to heaven because of sin. We can't even see his presence because of sin. But God, who knew that, gave us what? His son, Jesus Christ. You know? What were you going to say to that, Dave?
And the beauty of that, Parker, is when God looks at us, and a lot of Christians have a hard time with this, but when God looks at us, he sees the perfection of Jesus.
Amen.
Because of our belief and trust in Jesus, God does not see me as a flawed person. He sees me as his perfect son. He sees you as his perfect daughter. And I guess it's our own self-deprecation or our own martyrdom that wants us to think, woe is me, I'm a flawed person, I'm evil. And we all have that tendency, but, you know, God's looking at us differently. If we start looking at ourselves through God's eyes, we'll probably brand ourselves different because the love will come through then.
Amen. You actually took the words out of my mouth because I was just thinking as you were talking, that's branding the faithful, recognizing that sin without the blood of Christ will be branding us. But it's God's blood, it's Christ's blood who brands us. And when God looks at us, he doesn't see that sinful brand on us anymore. He sees the blood of Christ. And that's branding the faithful. And understanding that we are sinners, you know, understanding that, that's also branding the faithful. That's why you and I were so frank about acknowledging the atrocities that have happened within Christendom. We acknowledge that, you know, we're not going to whitewash it and try to hide it. You know, we were talking before the broadcast about your namesake, not your namesake, but who you're named after. David, a man after God's own heart, was what? A murderer and an adulterer. And God said, he's a man after my own heart. Why do you think he did that? Was it because he kept David in his sins? Or was it something more? You see what I'm saying? So that's why we're being very open and frank. The Bible for, you know, people said the Bible's written by some guy. About, you know, I said, have you ever read the Bible? A lot of people say they have never read the Bible. Because if they did, they would probably go, oh, wow, this is in there too.
Yeah.
I always think about.
Yeah, there's some weird stuff in there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And some things we don't understand. Some things are quite vague. But one thing the Bible isn't, is not whitewashed. Okay, the patriarchs of the faith and the matriarchs of the faith, they are very flawed human beings. You know, we talk about Abraham and Jacob. Jacob had to deal with two women. You know, he was a polygamist, which God never called man to be, you know, but he was a polygamist. And he dealt with Leah and Rachel and just the insanity that was probably in his house. We don't have an appreciation for her. Because they were sisters, you know, and,
yeah, they,
you know, he loved Rachel. He was lied to.
They put the fun in dysfunctional.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And for us in the Bible, that's polygamous. And one person said, well, that was just a cultural thing. That may have been a cultural thing, but that was not what God called him to do. That was another brand. He was like being the husband of one wife. That was a brand. You know, that was an outward brand.
Yeah.
I don't have all these, this harem, and I can't share my love with all these women or conversely all these men, just one with one, the monogamy, you know, that was a whole different thing. And so these are things that branded the faithful, you know, back in the day and didn't do that. But still, he was still what? The patriarch of the Jews. You know, we say Abraham, Isaac, and what? Jacob. So, I mean, he was still honored by that. So these are the things that we're talking about when we talk about branding the faithful. We're not going to avoid the harsh questions and some of the harsh things that Christians have done. That would be wrong. You know, being honest is very important, but that doesn't smear the whole of Christianity, because Christianity, when we get back, has had a lot of good happen in the world. Things that we currently experience right now, today, is because of what Christianity has done for the world and what Christians have done for the world as well. When we get back from our break, we're going to talk a little bit more about that and how that is a brand of the faithful as well. You're welcome to join in the conversation by calling in at 646-668-8485. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
I feel so hopeless.
Is there any hope? I just feel like there's no hope at all.
Is there any hope?
Get hope. Winston Churchill and my dad are my personal heroes.
That's TWR President Loren Libby.
Now, they knew how to boost the morale and confidence of people under fire. Churchill exuded hope, and it was infectious among those he touched. Hope is a pervasive theme in the Bible. In fact, the word is used 175 times. Now, why is hope so important? The Bible says, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Hope gives endurance in the face of adversity. My father never lost hope. He always saw the sun over another hill of adversity. Lost hope in your family, business, relationships? Ask Jesus to speak to you. Then begin to feel the power of hope in your life.
Need more hope? We have resources waiting for you, including a free devotional. You'll find them at GetHopeRadio.com. That's GetHopeRadio.com.
If you are an author looking to gain visibility for your books, then AuthorShout.com is the place to go. We have a wide variety of affordable products and services to include a member zone that will help you get the word out about your books. Our team here at AuthorShout.com specializes in creating stunning digital products to include book banners, teaser videos, book trailers, book covers, and a whole lot more. So what are you waiting for? Stop by AuthorShout.com today and let our team connect you with a world of new readers.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. Again, so very glad you're here with me today. We are talking about branding the faithful. What is it when what we mean when we talk about Christians? And before the break, we spent what may be an awful lot of time talking about the negative things that Christians have done. But that was the reason we did that, was to show that we do not whitewash the sins that individuals have done or that even institutions in the name of God had done. I think that's wrong. I think by tackling that head first, we acknowledge that there have been people who have misused the name of Christian and have misused Christ in a horrible way. So I wanted to definitely acknowledge that. But there are concepts and ideas right now that we have that would not be if it was for Christianity. One of those things, I know, Dave, you have some notes about that. So I want you to share some of the things you would say when people, when we bring this up, because some people say, well, Christianity hasn't done anything for the world. And I'll be very hesitant to say that's true because it isn't true. So go ahead and share with us however you feel best to relay this information.
Well, I think a lot of the social programs that we have in our country to assist the poor is founded in a Christian heritage or a Christian belief. And they may have become governmental programs, but at the root of them was someone concerned and caring. A lot of the aspects, I teach sport and recreation administration at the University of Mississippi. And so the studies out of the Industrial Revolution, a lot of playgrounds and parks and recreation opportunities began because of Christians in that era that wanted to give children an opportunity to get away from the evils of certain neighborhoods or certain places that was happening with the urban growth and the urban expansion. One particular example that I can think of, it just kind of brings it right down to the acting out of love. I was in West Virginia, and the director of missions there, we were looking at some possibilities when I was on staff at Germantown Baptist in Memphis. We were looking at some possibilities of mission work there. And as we're driving down the street, the missionary said, what do you see on this street? And I looked up, and it's like normal retail stores and restaurants, very nice strip of a highway. And so I said, looks like, you know, Main Street USA. And he said, yeah, it wasn't always that way. That street used to be lined up with adult bookstores, strip clubs, drug deals going on, all kinds of stuff. And he said that the churches in the area decided to protest it. So they put up their banners, their signs and everything. Nothing happened. In fact, if anything, they helped increase business, because there's sometimes if Christians say we're against something, people want to find out why, and so they go to it. So yeah, they decided to get to know the girls inside the clubs and find out and they found out that they were single moms or people that had been abused as children that needed education, needed child care, and the church adopted the girls and got them enrolled in community colleges and took care of their kids while they were in school, found them part-time jobs in other places where they could work, and completely wiped out an entire section of girls. So the club said, that's not a problem. We can bring in more girls. And so the church did it to the second run of girls they brought in as well. And finally, all of those businesses said, we can't fight this. And they closed down. The whole street was renovated into a nicer street. The point on that is, if we really want to impact our world, this is the way we do it. We find out the needs of the person, and we meet that need. We go in love, and we do that. And I think in a lot of ways, instead of boycotting something, instead of protesting something, let's find out the people that are involved in that particular activity or that particular item, what are they thinking? What are their needs? Years ago, the Southern Baptist Convention was wanting to boycott Disney because of their celebration of a gay day at Disney. And I did take particular humor in the fact that we boycotted Disney except when Disney bought ABC and they showed the Super Bowl. That was different. That was that was okay.
Right.
But my take, I started wearing Mickey Mouse ties to church just to be a little bit of an irritant to people. My thought is, what if your vacation to Disney World was designed by God so that you could meet the girl that sold film in the camera store at that point, or someone that would be serving you ice cream? How do you know your random act of kindness or a smile that you gave to someone was not going to be used by God to help them? And so, you know, if a store starts selling beer and you want to boycott it, I say no, go to the store. If we act in love, it's a whole lot different. And just one other, while I'm on a roll here, the baker that didn't want to bake the cake for the for the gay wedding, that doesn't show love. That just shows segregation. That shows separation. My thinking is bake the cake and give it to them at a discount or at cost. Love is still going to be the key. So thank you for letting me roll on and on.
Well, no, you brought some interesting points out. I know some of our listeners may be like, well, I disagree about that one. But then, you know, when you talk about certain sins, you have a different knee-jerk reaction. Like I said, I could talk about gluttony, and I don't want you to talk about my gluttony, you know. But if you want to talk about something that I'm not, then that's okay. Because we don't want anyone to hit on our private sins. We don't want anyone to touch that because they're our private sins. And I remember my pastor said, the Christian life, which is another brand of the faithful, the Christian life is a personal one, but never a private one. And I thought about that. It really hit me hard when he said that, because I grew up in the old school. And the thing was, what happens in this house stays in this house, you know. And I thought about that. I said, huh. And it's still a little bit to kind of wrap my head around. But when he said it, I was highly convicted about that. I was like, okay, you know, that can go for anything. Because if it's a personal life, you don't always have to tell everybody your business, but it shouldn't be so private that you can't let people in. And I was like, okay. And so it was still something that I'm still struggling with, you know, because I grew up with that whole, this is my house, what happens here stays in this house. But we all know sometimes behind closed doors, people are abused, hurt, all that kind of stuff. So it was hard to hear. So I thought that was a good message my pastor said that day. Pretty good message. I was like, okay, because that hit me right in the heart there. I was like, okay, all right. So I always try to be a little more transparent anyway, without being too, what's the word, emotional diarrhea, you know, like no one needs to know everything, Parker. Keep some of that to yourself, you know. No one needs to know everything. Let the Lord know, not everybody, you know. So we're talking about branding the faithful. We did get a comment. We got a comment from RD, and RD says, if we do that, what is easy? Is this a reflection of our devotion? Do the happy times, for example, in a marriage, characterize the bonding, or do the hardships signify the affection and caring? Isn't it better that Christians are ridiculed so those who make the uneasy choice to do so, not because it is easy, but because it's hard? They inflicted pain and suffering unto the death of Christ. Should we be so privileged to believe that the world doesn't hate us because of our beliefs in Christ, whom they hate? RD, thank you so much for joining in the conversation. I think RD brings up several good points that we can discuss. So let's start from the first part. You know, one of the things he said here, he says, if we do what's easy, is that a reflection of our devotion by being a Christian, by being brand as a faithful? What do you think about that?
It sounds like someone has been studying the scriptures and the words of Jesus.
Right.
Yeah, what he did was not easy. He even set it up that if we follow him, it's the same as saying goodbye to our families and that people will look at us differently. Doing the hard thing is that, and I'll tell you, when everyone wants to throw stones at a particular person and you're the one that steps in and gives them a hug, that's the hard thing to do. But that's also how we are branded, because that's what Jesus would do. And so, it's whoever set up Christianity as a easy peasy life in the suburbs kind of thing did not study Jesus's words closely. It is anything but an easy path.
No. I mean, yes, exactly. I said no because it's not suburbia. And I think one thing that's been hurtful to the faith sometimes of branding the faithful is that we've gotten very politically polarized, where it's about your political party. So whether you're Christian left, Christian right, progressive, mod, whatever, especially here in the West, I don't think they have the same phenomenon in other parts of the world, but especially here in the West, because we take for granted our faith. And we take for granted that we have certain rights that Christianity has brought to us. And so we don't really see it. So it's all like a political affiliation. And that's one thing that has really bothered me with a lot of the going on today. It's like if you support one person on this other side of the political divide, I shut you down. I cancel you out. And I'm like, but this person, like I'll say Trump, like people who support Trump. There are people who don't support President Trump. Regardless, I mean, the man, even if he gets elected again, it's only 8 years. I'm not going to let my whole 30-year relationship with my best friend go down the tube over one person who's only in office for a max of 8 years. You know what I'm saying? So I can't understand that, you know. And I'm not talking about just Trump. I mean, when it was Obama, people said things about Obama. Every president, if you was for against the president, I can't be friends with you anymore. It's insane to me that people think that way. It's insane to me. And that's another thing that, like you said, the faithful are branded with love, because you're gonna use love to connect with people, not political parties. You're gonna use love to connect with people, not where do you stand on this particular issue. Mind you, I think it's okay to be protesting like at abortion clinics. I don't think any child should be killed, you know, but I don't have to show hate to that person. You know, like you said, you used the example of West Virginia town who, instead of protesting when they realized that didn't work, they loved on these women and say, what do you need so you don't have to do this? Well, how can I help you so you don't have to do this? And when women started to see that, what started to happen, they saw the brand of the faithful reacting to them in love, and guess who they saw? The face of Christ. And that made the whole difference, you know. Go ahead and expand on that, if you will.
Well, I've always should influence my politics, but my politics should never influence my faith. But
exactly.
If I'm to be branded by love, I can't pick a party and say one is closer to Jesus than the other. And I have friends on both sides of the issue. And some will say, I don't understand how you can call yourself Christian and be Democrat. And the other guys say, well, I don't understand how you can call yourself a Christian and be Republican. And it's because Jesus was neither. And if we look at what Jesus did politically, he never spoke one word against the Roman Empire. In fact, he told people to pay their taxes.
Yep.
He told people to walk a second mile with their pack. Do what's more than expected. For the Romans, politically, Jesus would have been smacked in the middle. Probably both parties would be mad at him.
Right? It's like, you're no help.
Because he wouldn't. Yeah, he would just be loving on all of them. And yeah. And I think that's one of the fears I have in this political arena, Parker, is that people have made that the hill to die on. That if you're going to be a member of that party, if you're going to support that candidate, then we can't be friends. And let me tell you something. I mean, if Jesus is telling you to, you know, you're required to walk 1 mile, so walk two. He knew something was going on. So when I do what's expected, I'm just complying with the law. When I walk the second mile, the Roman now, I have his ear. He has to listen to me because I'm doing something above and beyond what I'm supposed to. That's how you influence politics. You go beyond the call. You go the second mile. But unfortunately, the branding is taking place, and I wish they would have never hijacked the term evangelical, because an evangelical believer is one that wants others to believe in Jesus as well. But now evangelical is more of a political term than it is a description of a follower of Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I gotta be honest, Dave, I like the way our conversation is going, because we're going about talking about how we have branded ourselves in the past erroneously. We've talked about how the world has branded us in a way. We talk about how we've messed up in the branding by aligning ourselves to outside issues without being in love. But, you know, branding the faithful really is about love, and that love is a outflowing of the Holy Spirit within us. This does not mean that we love so unconditionally that we accept everything. That's not the case. I think we should focus on that, because, like I said, I talk about abortion. Like, I don't believe in abortion at all. However, I have good people who I love that have had abortions, and I don't hate them. I disagree with what they did, and I, you know, pray for them. And some people have that I know who have aborted. They have no remorse. They're like, oh, that's a good thing I did, you know. And I'm, for me, that's like, oh my gosh, how can you feel that way? But at the same time, do I hate them because of that? No, no. And I think it's that outpouring of love that helps us. And every once in a while, we'll talk about it, but then we stop, because I'm not going to let that past mess up our relationship, you know, unless you're doing something.
Yes.
I always joke with people. I say, you can say what you want about me, just don't talk about my mama or I'll get you cut. I always say that, you know, like, don't talk about my mom or whatever. You can call me dumb and stupid, but not my mom, you know. But it's that outpouring of love that really brands the faithful. And I like the fact, I love the examples that you used, you know, use examples of those young women. And instead of having a strip club, a strip joint or adult stores that continue to bring down a whole community, now you have businesses that can bring up a community, because now people can pay their bills. They can go grocery shopping, you know, or whatever. Not saying that, you know, no one doesn't have that is sinless or anything like that, but you did make it better when you showed love.
Right.
So let's go on some more about this, because one thing is true is that the term Christians in Antioch was a derogatory term. So if you think about it now, we're still back in what was historically accurate from back in the first century, that because Christians was like a slur, if you will. It was a slur. Now Christians within the faith, they want to say, I'm a Christian, like it's this badge. And I remember talking to one author some time ago. She said she was being a missionary in the country. And when they heard the term Christian, they had such a negative connotation with it that they couldn't handle it. So they actually changed it from Christian to Jesus follower because of what had happened in the past. And they were more able to relate to the people in that particular country. Because when you said Christian, it was a bad word for these people. But when you said Jesus follower, okay, who's Jesus? So, you know, but the world does put this smear on Christians. And we want to let them know this is not what Christians are. These are not what they are. I don't care what individuals do. That's not what Christ did. So how do we help in the branding about Christians? How do we help people say this is not what Christians are?
It pretty much comes down to each Christian, each individual expressing that love. I heard from a guy that attends the church I go to here in Oxford, Mississippi, and he said a lot of people, when he apparently had some kind of a tainted past in the area, and his comment was, he said, when I tell people I go to the Orchard, their reply is, well, they must take anyone there. And of course, it's kind of a
jab
at him, and he takes it that way. But I thought the overlying message of that is what they're saying is, wow, there's a church that would take someone regardless of their background, regardless of who they are and what they've done. And I think that's how we get the branding going out, that we start loving each other, that we I'm going to get on the brass tacks of it. When you're in a restaurant, you should be tipping better than they expect.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way we should act, they will know that we're a follower of Christ, that we're a Christian. Jesus said, your fruit's going to give you away if you act nice. And I've had servers tell me that Sunday lunch is their worst time, that it's just depressing because they work like crazy and their tips are not good. And I'm thinking, you want to show love, tip extra. You want to show love, be kind to the checkout person at Walmart or Kroger or wherever you shop. Let the person, oh, here's a weird one, let the person get in front of you in traffic. I say that because I'm notorious at not doing that one. It's just little by little you show love. And, you know, I referenced the West Virginia town that turned things over, and my thought is instead of protesting at an abortion clinic, let's set up ways to help the girls. You know, I can't really speak. I'm like you, Parker. I'm not in favor of abortion, but I've also never been a 17-year-old girl that was raped or was a victim of incest or made a mistake. And so why don't we go and offer other services? Let us pray with you through this. What can we do to help you? Can we help you find an adoption agency? Can we help you with medical bills? But then if a girl decides to get the abortion anyway, can we feed you lunch? Can we help you from this point on? If we just start doing like Jesus would do, I think the branding is going to take over the negativity that's there in the world.
Amen. I have to laugh here. RD also said, don't have a fish symbol on your car and drive like a mad person. RD, thank you so much. I know, right? You see someone driving like this one mother of the church when I was growing up told the pastor, she said, Pastor, you must have the devil in your foot because you're driving so fast.
Yeah, I tell my students that I don't use a particular finger in traffic because I know it's going to be someone from my church or one of my students in the other car, and it's not good. I got to church one Sunday and the pastor said, "Where was the fire?" And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You passed me on Highway 7 like you were headed to a fire." Well, I was headed to McDonald's to get breakfast before church, so it wasn't really like, you know, it's fast food, so it's not a problem. But I apparently had cut him off in traffic, and I thought, why couldn't it just be some stranger, you know? But be sure your sins will find you out, I guess. So,
I know, right? But you know what? That stranger could eventually be someone we actually know. So I guess you should always be mindful of what we're doing. That's enough.
Our
brand.
If you're going to wear the brand, you got to act the brand.
Right. Oh, man. We got a comment from Sheila. Sheila actually has two comments. The first comment Sheila says Sheila says, people pick certain attributes, and from that list, they define what is a Christian. They will say, I thought Christians are not supposed to get angry or turn the other cheek. And then Sheila goes on to say, faithful brand is totally defined by actions. Sheila, thank you so much for joining in the conversation. Chris from Kent City, Michigan says, sounds like Christianophobia to me. Talk about the comments, talk about, you know, homophobic, racist, stuff like that. That's what he was referring to. And then Hillary says, great and timely topic. So I thank all those who weighed in on our conversation. Thanks so much for weighing in. I think what Sheila said is actually spot on, because people will Because faithful branding comes through actions. Your actions really do speak louder than words. So even though we have the words of life and we're not acting a certain way, it's going to come off bad. That's why some people will call Christians homophobic, because we act horrible, let's say, towards someone like that, you know, or they're racist because some people, and then this is such a nuanced topic right now in the U.S. of A. kind of leery talking about it, because it's so nuanced, because our nation just, anyway, I won't go into all that, but you know, some people may act racist, even though they may not be that, and that's something we need to address. And then there's other vices out there that are branded Christian, which are not, you know. But I like that Sheila said the faithful branding comes through actions. What would you add to that, Dave?
Well, I would say that sounds like Sheila has done some Bible reading as well. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, 15 through 20, talks about false prophets coming in, and he said, you know them by their fruit, by the way they act. And then later in those later verses, he says, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. If I speak of, Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 13, if I speak of my faith and I don't express love, it's like the clanging cymbal. It's just noise. And so we have to make sure that the action follows the statement. Yeah. We just simply can't talk a good game in faith. It is the action that proves it. And she has hit the nail right on the head. That's it.
You know, as we get ready to close our show, hey, once again, I want you to give us some final thoughts. I was just thinking, you know, God showed love toward us. God loves us. And that love is shown by sending his son to die for us. And that love is not just all accepting. We need to be very clear about that. It's not all accepting, because if love was just all accepting, then we would die in our sins. Because God said, well, I love them too much. They can't be with me, but they'll just have to be away from me. No, he loved us that he went out of his way to rescue us. You know, he didn't just sit there and just say, well, I wonder if they'll ever figure it out. He didn't do that. And I think that's important because like the song, and they'll know we are Christians by our what? By our love, you know, and that's extremely important as we talk about branding the faithful, because if we have love, that's going to be shown in so many different ways. It doesn't mean that love is just going to say, you could do whatever you want and I'll love you. No, that's not the case, because you could say, if a woman's getting beat by a man, you're not going to say, oh, he still loves her. You would say he doesn't love her because he's beaten her. You know, I was thinking about a pastor I was talking to very recently, and we were talking about just the current climate going on. And he said, people don't know how to listen in love. They know how to just talk hate, but they're not listening in love. They're not even showing listening skills in love. And we're talking about making changes, just listening to what the other person is saying in love. And I was blown away by that insight. I said, wow, that makes a lot of sense. We're talking and making noises, but no one's listening. No one's doing that in love. Right. And the brand of the faithful is love. And how Christ loved us. He loved us so much. He did not just let us die in our sins. He loved us enough to make a way to get out of our sins through his sacrifice and his resurrection, and that his power that he does forevermore. And I think these are important topics when we talk about branding the faithful. So what are your final thoughts as we get ready to close today, Dave?
Well, you know me, my final thought is a story. I was working at Germantown Baptist. I was the recreation minister, and we decided to open the doors and let anyone and everyone play in our gym. And the South still has a few things that they're working through in the topic of racism. So when African Americans came into play, it disturbed some of our church members. And one lady in particular, a senior adult lady, came to me and she said, David, it scares me when I walk through and all those black people are in here. And I said, Marianne, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go sit down next to their wives and girlfriends while they're playing, and I want you to get to know them. I want you to talk to them, find out their stories. when the guys take a break, I want you to go up and ask them, how can you pray for them? She was a regular 2 days a week for about 3 weeks, and she kept coming in and saying, David, my gosh, these people are so near and dear. They're so amazing. The next week,
wow,
she had a stroke and was placed in a hospital. The basketball guys and girls took a poster board and all signed a get well card for me to deliver to her. And even in the midst of a stroke, she cried. She discovered what love can do. Love breaks down all of those barriers. When we listen,
mm-hmm,
as you said, we find out who the people are, and then we know how to love them.
Amen. I just love your stories, Dave. You have so many of them. You said, I know. I do have so many stories. You know,
and
it's
I'm at
funny
that age
that,
where I tell them over and over again.
Right. You say, oh, I said this one already, huh? I love it. But I love it because it lets us know that, you know, some people, fear was her motivator. You know, you could tell that was a fear.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even that she was weird. She was nervous and fear. And you could have said, you racist so-and-so. You could have did that, Dave. But you say, you know what? You
yeah.
got to the crux of it. In love, you say, you know, she's afraid. Because when you're in an uncomfortable place, I think that's where God works best, when you're uncomfortable. Because,
mm-hmm,
like, I'm comfortable now. But if you were telling me, hey, Parker, go and figure out how that rocket ship can go to the moon. Dude, you are on your own. Okay, after 2 plus 2, that's it, man. That's all I got. So, I can't do that. But God tends to work when we're uncomfortable. He tends to show himself more when we're uncomfortable, when we're really stepping out on faith. And for her, that was something that was a big deal. You know, and in fact, I think I actually feel pretty good that she was able to come to you and express that, because it lets her know that you, in some way, gave her that ability to do that. You know, you gave her that ability to be uncomfortable. And I think that's okay, too. I always tell people, particularly when it comes to politics, that you can tell me what you think. I'm not going to look at you funny. You know, the only problem, and I'll be honest, the only problem I probably will say is because abortion. It's a very near, dear thing to my heart. But I won't condemn you. I may wholeheartedly disagree with your stance against mine, but I'm not going to hate you or anything like that. But pretty much any other thing, I go, oh, okay, that's great. You know, because you should be able to say what you want to say and not feel always condemned. And I'm glad that you were able to be that person she can talk to and express that, and that you used love to express it to her. And then she found out more about love. She did what you told her to do. So I think that's a good way to end our show about branding the faithful. The brand of the faithful simply is what, Dave?
Love.
Amen. It's simply love. So in that regard, I want people to know where we can connect with you online. So go ahead and share your social media hookups.
All right. You can find my website at David Waddell, DavidWaddell.biz. I'm on Facebook with facebook.com/justlikebiblicalpeople. That's probably the best ways to connect with me. Information on my books are in both places. You can find them there. And they all three deal with the relation of our own lives with biblical characters and biblical stories. So I think if you like today's topic, you would enjoy my books.
Amen. Dave, once again, thank you so much for being with us on the show today. I'm pretty sure our listeners are out and about, you know, enjoying their families in some way, even though COVID here in Michigan, the COVID guidelines have lessened. But who knows what will happen after that. But I hope you are enjoying your families today on this holiday. If you're eating barbecue, eat enough for me. I have a barbecue pit, so eat enough for me. And I actually like barbecue smoked sausage, for those of you out there who want to just, you know, you want to help Parker out.
You're preaching to the choir.
I know, right? But Dave, thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate having you on the show, and I can't wait to have you back.
Thank you, Parker.
We were talking to Dave today. We were talking today to Dave Waddell. He is an author as well as a worship leader, and he is just a wonderful man of God with just wonderful insights into a variety of topics that I know you're going to enjoy. He did give you his social media outlets, so make sure you check them out, and his books, and just love him, my brother. Definitely, I wanted to just close with the final thought that branding the faithful is branded by love. I think about how much love is needed right now, particularly in the U.S., as we grapple with racial tensions all over the place, from black and white, from Asian and whatever, just whatever. There's so much racial tension in the USA, and it's very sad to see that happening. But I hope that the faithful really reach up and out and show love and see if we can bring these racial tensions to a simmer. If we bring it down to a simmer, then we can eventually get rid of them, as we all recognize that no matter what our culture is, we are ultimately of the same race, which is the human race, and that if you accept Christ, we're all part of the same family, and that family is branded by love. Thank you so much for joining me for this edition of the Parker J. Cole Show. You have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day, and God bless.